Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Earlier today, there was news that Annabelle Bolin also has Alzheimer's, and that came out, and all sorts of support from all over the place for Annabelle Bolin, with our thoughts with her as well. And just Annabelle and Pat Bolin both suffering from Alzheimer's, different stages, obviously. So, Al, we just wish her and the family the best in dealing with this terrible, terrible disease, and hopefully research and can take care of this at some point. Feels like medicine should be able to take care of this. You know, it feels like this is the type of thing that hopefully you can figure out. But
I know for a lot of families that are going through this, and I just talked to a good friend of mine yesterday who was talking about his mom going through a similar situation, said that, you know, the technology and the medicines that you speak of can't come fast enough.
Yeah. So that was a bummer to start out the day. There's a story coming out about, you know, when we were down at the Senior Bowl, one of the deeper stories that we had to consider when evaluating players was Luke Falk, correct? Because he was there at the Senior Bowl the same week that his teammate, Tyler Helinski, had committed suicide.
Right. And we wondered out loud, is this the right place for him while he was trying to deal with this sadness?
Well, he didn't even play in the game because he went back for the funeral, but he was there for a couple of days of the practice. And to me, it was a testament of, I thought it was a very high character moment for Falk, and his sadness with his teammate was significant. Quite the story. Well, now it's come out, Al, that Helinski had stage 1 CTE, and doctors are saying that this young man had the brain of a 65-year-old. Now, they're not saying football caused a suicide, but obviously it's horribly tragic and sad to find out that he had suffered so many traumatic brain injuries that he had developed CTE at such a young age. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it was a sad report, and when I heard it, of course, I just thought, you know, let's go ahead and be proactive and be better sportsmen. So I came up with a plan, and this is going to sound a little controversial to some football fans, but this is my idea about handling youth sports. Now, Brett Favre has come out and said that he wants to tackle football out of youth sports altogether. Okay.
What age is that till? I mean, what does that mean?
I don't know what his idea is, but I have an idea.
All right.
Okay. Tackle football begins when you can drive a car.
Okay. Well, that would be a little different depending on the state, but around 16 years old.
Whenever that is for you, when you get your permit, you can drive a car, you can get a helmet.
Why? Okay. So are you just using that as a metaphor then? Or are you really just saying when you turn 15, you can
play football
at 15? Start at 15.
15 years old. Okay. That's
why 15, not 14?
Because
not 16?
Here, I'll give it to you. There must be some science behind why kids get their learner's permit at 15 years old.
Okay.
Whatever that is, the methodology that goes into that.
Your brain is developed enough to trust you to drive.
That's right, because remember now,
okay,
we're talking about a car as a weapon.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, you can be hurt. You can hurt yourself. You can hurt others.
But you can't drive by yourself.
That's right, and that's why I say you get your first helmet when you can get your permit.
So essentially that would be sophomores in high school. Essentially.
I think it's freshman when you start to drive. You get your, and you, when you turn 16, you get your license.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That's not how it is anymore.
It all depends
on. You have to have the license for at least, or the permit for at least a year.
Yeah. So 15 years old. 15, you start driving at 15. 15 and a half, I think it is.
It's 15 if you take the class.
I don't know. I don't know.
Let's.
Well, I'm just going to make it easy.
Yeah, just make it easy.
15 years old, that's when you get your first helmet.
Okay.
Because, you know
Most 15 years, most, not all, most are sophomores in high school.
Okay. Well, that's when you get it. Whenever you get, whenever you turn 15, that's when you get your helmet. Because what happens in football is that, you know.
So forget freshman football. Why even have it?
You know what? I learned to play football when I was a freshman in high school. I think I was 15 years old.
Okay.
Turned 15 that year. So the year that you turn 15, as long as you are a freshman,
why don't we just say freshman?
Freshman in high school.
Okay.
There's got to be something to that.
Football until you're a freshman.
Yeah,
in high school.
Freshman in high school.
Okay.
Because let's face it. And then when you get to high school, we got to do a better job of paying our coaches. We got to do a better job of having more qualified people around football. Period. When you hear stories about guys who have a lot of concussions, man, you know what? The coaches aren't educated at the level that they need to be.
So now, if that's tackle football, but you're not saying get rid of football.
I love football.
Seven on seven,
big man skills, all those things, soccer, all the sports that surround football, fine. But football itself, man, I mean, why do we have to do it anytime before freshman year in high school?
My son's a...
tackle.
You realize, like, football and baseball are great companion sports because they use a lot of the same sort of physical skills.
So it's basketball, for that matter.
With football?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
All the cutting, the movements, the sudden...
It's a little tricky because the seasons overlap a little bit, but sure, okay. A
little bit.
So the football players are, like, working out in my backyard. And I'm saying to my son, who wants to get stronger and faster,
go work out with them.
That's what I've been saying. I've been like, go work out with those guys. And when it comes to the part that you, you know, are slamming your head against people, just, you know, say, okay, that's fine. Because football, essentially, when it comes to the workouts, the passion, the strategy, the desire, the 7-on-7. Ow!
7-on-7 is beautiful.
It's so great.
7-on-7 is beautiful.
I mean, fun, it's exciting, it's competitive. It's got a lot of skill. It takes great athletes to do. It's like, who wouldn't want to participate in something like that?
I would love a serious youth 7-on-7 development.
What's getting there, by the way? There's more and more of it. That's for sure.
I've seen these tournaments in Texas. Let me tell you something, man. And we have a few of them here that are starting to grow, but the game of football can be taught at a very high level. First of all, we got to get better coaches. Okay, we got to get better coaches at the high school level, period. We have to pay those coaches better. We pay our cheerleading coaches, you know, goo-gobs of money. We pay those lacrosse coaches. We pay the soccer coaches.
Well,
wait a minute. Listen.
You really think we pay the lacrosse coach more than the football coach at a typical high school?
I'm talking about club sports.
Oh.
Your club? Do you pay for your kid and his club sports?
Of course.
You pay for his coach?
Yep.
Okay. That's not the culture behind football.
He gets about $4,000 a season. The seasons are usually 2.5 months long.
See, that's what I'm saying. So we have to do a better job of putting more qualified football coaches in school, paying those coaches to coach the kids the right way, because the money isn't there.
Now, I know in most high schools...
If you want football to grow and to be more responsible...
How much would you pay a high school coach to coach football?
A high school head coach?
Yeah. You said pay him more. What would you pay him?
Just simply the coach.
I guess.
Not to teach. I would consider $20,000 at a bare minimum.
Boy, you get a lot of better coaches if you did that. Now, think about the private schools.
Oh, the private schools.
Who are paying coaches six figures.
$100,000 for those guys. In Texas, you know, the head football coach usually makes, you know, a dollar less than the principal in most big time schools.
So why should those schools be allowed to compete against schools that can't pay their coaches the same amount?
I don't know. I don't know, but I think that we're doing a disservice. We're doing a disservice.
But don't you think the kids that are paying the coach much more money are perhaps a better chance of being a little safer and doing things the right way?
Because
rather than these, you know, gym teachers who probably don't know what they're doing and just need the extra scratch to pay for groceries?
Or for the dads who want to help but don't understand. You know, I, when we come from break, I got to tell you what happened. My son, his first day of high school football, and I almost kicked the coach's ass.
Okay. Look forward to that story next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Allen Dean on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Story. Here we go. My son is playing high school football.
Wait, which son, by the way?
I mean, oldest boy.
Oh, so this is your first thing of high school football.
First born playing football.
After you'd been coaching him for...
Yes, of course. You know, if I figured if they were going to play, I was going to coach. But it's football by itself inherently is a tough game. But on my son's first day of padded practice, their coach puts them in a bull in the ring.
Mm.
Now, my son plays
Why don't you explain what that is for everybody?
Okay. Let's just put it this way. The quarterback never goes in bull in the ring. And first of all, bull in the ring has been outlawed since in football. Like, there's nobody that's allowed to do bull in the ring. And bull in the ring basically is there's one guy that is in the middle of a ring and a coach just calls a number. So just say that you are in the middle. There's a circle formed around you and a coach calls a number. They'll be like, 17, and he runs at you. 25, runs at you. 30, runs at you. 71, runs at you. Okay? And the whole objective here is just to hit the guy in the ring. It's stupid, man. It's the dumbest drill. And you know what? I hated that drill because it teaches you nothing. When in football do you have to flip around and hit somebody coming from you from your back?
Turnover, maybe.
Never do you have an instance when you're chopping your feet and you don't know where the hit is coming from. So my kid gets injured his first practice, and I'm telling you right then, D-Mac, man, I want to smack that coach. I was standing on the sideline when I saw it happen, and I want to smack that coach so bad, man. But you know what? I held my tongue and I didn't say anything, and I was just so upset, man. I was so upset because the first day of practice, you're going to pull a bull in the ring? Who are you? And that's what happens in football, because you may get a coach who is
coaching. What happened to that coach?
Oh, man, I don't know. But I don't think he's coaching at the school anymore. He got, you know, I think he moved on. But, I mean, my kid is a victim of a bad coaching decision.
Unnecessary contact.
Unnecessary.
Right.
And he plays quarterback. Why would you do that?
Why would anybody do it?
Why would you do it to the linemen? Why would you do it for linebackers? I mean, there's nothing. It's been outlawed. It's been outlawed in football. And I said, you know,
about the Oklahoma drill?
Oklahoma drill? Oklahoma is Oklahoma drill is a small version of a 9-on-7.
You're okay with Oklahoma?
Oklahoma can have
you shed and then you tackle.
That's right. You shed. You try to avoid stay on your legs, But the Oklahoma, I mean, the Bull in the Ring?
Bull in the Ring bad, Oklahoma drill, okay. Okay.
And I knew it. I knew it. We got Texas texting in. My teams love Bull in the Ring.
Big Sexy, you know what, was man? Chiming in that he loved Bull.
I love Bull in the Ring.
Listen, man. It's the dumbest. It's not a drill that teaches you football. I've never actually.
Does it teach you toughness?
No. You know what it does? It teaches you to keep your head on a swivel and try to find out who's running at you.
Teaches those little guys not to take cheap shots on the bigger guy, by the way.
It's a dumb drill, man. I hate it. I hated it. In high school, we never did it in college. Of course, no college coach would do it. You know, and it's so old school, but it's stupid. See, those kind of drills need to be out of football altogether. When you start talking about people getting concussions and you start talking about head injuries and all of the things that in football, if you really want to teach people how to play and how to tackle, separate the people from no more than 3 yards, and that's how you learn to tackle. 3 yards, that's it. You don't need to take off running to learn how to tackle. You need 3 yards of space. That's it. That's how you teach tackling, from 3 yards away. Never do you get a 7 or 8 yard distance from each other and take off at full speed. That's dumb. We got to do a better job with our coaching.
This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and
D-Mac. I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding.
We are 15 minutes away from having the three finalists of The Fan Dream Job brought to you by Corona.
You tell me.
Here in studio, and then we'll find out the winner just after 5 o'clock. So we have cameras and video, and we are finally going to use all the microphones in this studio. I think this is the first time ever. I think there were some hijinks Orin and I used to do at night, Alfred, that we used all the microphones for when we brought in a snowblower to try to figure out what Joe Sackett was thinking. I mean, you know, but in general, we don't use these microphones, so we're
A step ahead.
Oh, we're fired up today. Trying to figure out if we actually have enough headphones to fit all the contestants. We have other radio stations. We just take their headphones.
You should just let them know that as part of the job, they have to bring their own headphones.
Well, technically they don't. You should have your... You're right. I've been very lucky for the past decade not to have to bring my own headphones here, but I probably should.
You know, when I've worked in other studios around the country, if you ask somebody else to use their headphones, they look at you like you asked to use their toothbrush.
Yeah, rightfully so. I got that.
Hey, buddy, you mind if I use your headphones?
Yeah, I know.
Why don't you take my toothbrush, too?
Yeah. So anyways, we're all set up. It's going to be fun. Let's go out to John. John, you're on The Fan. What's going on, John?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is more or less continuing the discussion on the youth head injuries. And it's not just head injuries, but I think the indictment needs to be more on the lack of standards for trainers. I can't speak for everyone's high school experience, but for me specifically, we had one trainer, and if there was multiple sporting events going on, then that trainer basically had to pick where she was going.
Right.
And there was a moment in my life where I was laying on a field with a broken pelvis, and I had a girl with 2 weeks sports medicine experience as the person treating it. And it was just kind of the way that it worked is she would call the trainer. The trainer didn't pick up. It was best guess. And, I mean, that's a standard that we had. We had basically high school kids helping out, and that was really all we had. So I think that if we actually put more of a premium on getting people whose job it is to protect the players and not coach the players, that would actually go a long way.
Man, great call.
Thank you for the call.
You know, a good friend of mine is in town, played for the Broncos here, and also coached high school football as well. We talked about that thing right there. We talked about that thing today. Why isn't there more being done to make sure that when the kids take the field, and he's a high school coach now, George Coghill, the high school coach now. Why aren't we doing more things to make sure when the kids take the field that there is medical support, in a great understanding, a greater understanding from the coaches about who these players are.
Well, for probably financial reasons.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, it's
but can technology
like
help us out there?
How so?
Oh my goodness! If you do, you know, I went over to. I took my kids over to Spine One, right, and he was having some problem with his back. Do you know that questionnaire that you fill out about seeing the doctors? That should be filled out by every kid every year. Instead, you know what they do? They say, "Have you had the physical? Let me see." Okay, you're good. What's in that physical that you need to know? If you pass the physical, that means that you are able to play. But what if you've had like a torn rotator cuff in your past, and now, you know, that's something that the coach needs to pay attention to, and just in case, you know, he's working with you. This just needs to be more attention paid to the youth sports, and I can't wait to see how this all shakes out, because we will get better. Whether we want to or not, tackle football is going to go away for youth sports. It's going to happen. It's going to go away, and there are going to be a lot of guys upset. And then I see a guy just text me in. He said about tackling only needs to be 3 yards away. And he said, well, what about pursuit drills? Do you need to hit somebody in a pursuit drill?
You tell me.
No, you don't need to hit them, because you know what? You're probably not going to get a clean hit on them anyway. You need to take the right angle.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, when I was at the University of Colorado, we did this drill every day. It was called a pursuit drill. It was just basically a pursuit drill.
And
the drill was, okay, start practice, get warmed up, do your position drills, and then we come together as a defense. And then we would basically, the ball is snapped, and the coaches throw the ball to one area, and you just had to convene at that area at the right angle. Not one time did we tackle. Because you know you're gonna make the effort to tackle. You have to learn to break down. You don't need to learn to tackle when you're on an angle. You need to learn to break down. You need to learn how to form. You need to learn how to get your arms around. You don't do that from 15 yards apart. You don't do that from 25 yards apart.
Right.
And if you're a coach that's teaching that, shame on you. Teach the kids to break down and get ready to wrap their arms,
mm-hmm,
or shoot for the legs. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn how to play this. You got to learn how to coach this game the right way. And especially if you're going to go out there and coach these kids and use football, please don't put a pursuit drill or a tackling drill where these kids are going to be more than 3 yards away. That's it. You don't need anything more than 3 yards for a kid to get good contact and get the techniques down. Because what you can teach is run through the football, break down, not make the tackle. And use those same principles that you did when you were just 3 yards away. So there it is. Youth football is going to, I think it's going to go away. Youth football, tackle football is going to go away at some point.
How would you regulate that?
I would, you know, I think there is somebody, Big Sexy, who is, what pro athlete is sponsoring a bill to, is it Brett Favre who's sponsoring a bill, or somebody else who's sponsoring a bill to stop youth tackle football?
Well, Favre actually came out last week in support of the Dave Duerson Act.
Dave Duerson, Eric. That's right, in Illinois.
Yep. It was a proposed bill to ban tackle football in youth sports.
So that's Illinois.
Yeah, well, he's the most recent athlete.
For example, I know because my son played hockey. Youth hockey is regulated by USA Hockey.
Mm.
So USA Hockey, for example, while my son was playing, and it goes from mites to peewee to squirt to peewee to bantam and then midget. It's 2 years every age level. So while my son was playing, they actually moved. USA Hockey said no hitting until you get to the bantam level, which I believe is 13 to 14. So while my son started hockey, you could hit at the peewee level, which is about 11 and 12. Well, they stopped it. And they literally made a ruling saying, no, you can't do that until you get to 13, 14, to the bantam level.
Mm.
So it was fascinating to have an organization basically dictate a rule in hockey for the entirety of the United States. Now, if you weren't a subscriber or you didn't participate with USA Hockey, perhaps it was different. But our leagues did here in Colorado, so I don't know any different.
But it was USA Hockey.
But we have an organization. I don't know if something like that exists for football.
It would be the NFL. It would be the NFL, basically. You're saying,
well, it's not the NHL that does it. It's a youth hockey organization, USA Hockey, that does it. I don't know if there's something like that for football. I doubt there is.
Now, I think that we don't have a governing body in,
exactly,
in football.
So who controls the Snoop League? Like, who controls any of these leagues in the United States? And the answer probably is nobody.
There is a way to play the game the right way. You need great coaches, man. The thing that I'm most proud of about my upbringing in high school is that my coach played in the NBA. Okay, he was a seventh pick of the Boston Celtics way back when. Okay, my high school coach played in the NFL. I got taught how to play the games the right way, and you know what? That's when those jobs were good paying jobs, and my coaches taught, and when they were done playing ball, because the money wasn't the same as it is now. But there is a real need for great coaching, and we need a governing body around football. We have to. When you hear stories about this, what's the kid name again that had all the concussions that passed away from Washington State?
Tyler Helitzky.
When you hear about a kid like that having
CTE issues,
playing quarterback, come on, man.
That's sad.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not where we want this to go. And I'm not trying to scare any moms. I'm not trying to scare any dads. I'm just telling you that be wary when you are going out there to practice and you see things that you don't like. If you see things that you don't like, man, pull your kid. You don't want a lifetime of issues and problems because some coach wanted to prove that he was tougher than, you know, the next guy over there. One last story, and then we'll get off of this. I was coaching 1 year. I was coaching 1 year against this team. Let's just say I was coaching youth football against a team who lined their offensive line up, okay, put all their big guys up front. Then they put all the fullback-type guys right behind them, okay?
Okay.
And basically, and they had their
Sounds
hands.
Sounds like a pretty simple offense.
Listen. And they had their hand, they put their hands on the backs of the offensive linemen around their hip area, okay?
Okay.
Okay. The quarterback, the ball was snapped to the quarterback, and the quarterback just basically took one step behind them, and they just basically ran a wedge. That was it.
Now, zone blocking to one side or just straight ahead?
No, man, this is all just mush
straight
football.
Ahead.
Mush football, right?
Yeah.
A set of coaches taught these guys to line up, put their hands on the hips.
I bet it worked.
And push forward.
Did it work?
You know what? I let it happen for about five or six plays too many, okay? Because after that, I called the game. Because, you know, the only thing that you can do for that if you are a kid is dive at the knees of the opposition.
Mm.
I don't want to teach a kid to dive at the knees of your opposition to try to stop them from doing it.
Right.
Now, the coach got hot at me, started running over towards me, talking trash. And you know, I was like, you know what, man, we're done. We're done. It ain't worth these kids out here getting injured over this crap that you're pulling.
Right.
You got to find great coaches out there. And you know what? I'm going to see if I can pull together a list of teams and coaches and see if I can get, you know, because I know there's some dads who still want to be around football. Man, we got to do a better job protecting these kids, because I'm telling you, there's some idiots out there. There's some idiots out there that don't teach the right way, and I just want to avoid all of those.
All right, well said. Okay, it's been quite a run for our Corona fan dream job. It is down to three finalists, John Davis, Kyle Reese, and Zach Thomas. Good to see Zach Thomas has picked up something since he's retired. And we will have those three contestants in. We'll find out their stories, and we'll find out the winner coming up next.
It's The Drive with Big Alan Dimack on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, that's a whoa! Oh, man, we almost had a very interesting moment right there. Oh, I'm going to have to address this right off the bat. All right, everybody turn your mic on. You should be able to do that. It's the Corona fan dream job. Zach Thomas.
What's going on?
You tell me, my friend.
They told me 5 o'clock. It's 4:45. We rolling in.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute. Did you tell him, Armin, did you tell him 4:45?
Oh,
he should have
been 4:30.
That's okay. Oh. So who's wrong there?
I'm not sure. I don't want to speak on that. Wait a minute. Who's wrong there? If we can run back the tape.
No. Who's wrong there?
I'm wrong.
Okay.
All right.
If he wasn't told 4:30,
then you're
all right. All right. Let's get to this because this is about having a job. And accountability right off the bat.
I mean, golly, woo.
I'm looking at Raj, and Raj, get on a mic here for a second. I'm sure you communicated with everybody the same exact way, right?
I mean, did you send an email?
Oh, wait. You got to turn Raj right there. Go ahead. Say that again, Raj.
I didn't talk to him on this one. This is an Armin deal.
So this is the boss. Armin, this is the boss. This is the big boss.
Did you screw up, Armin?
I thought I told everybody 4:30. If he says he heard 4:45, that's okay.
Kyle, what'd you hear?
That's all right.
Wait. There wasn't an email or a text? This is just a...
We met all individually. We had individual interviews, conversations in the interview. We had conversations after... their audition last night.
Oh, okay. So
I get it on paper.
Kyle, what did you get, Kyle? What did you get for the time?
Zach was really good last night. Did you listen to him on his
audition? That's not what I asked.
Here we go.
That's not what I asked.
You know what, Zach?
Two out of three contestants.
I'll cut you some slack. I don't mean to put you on the spot here.
No, it's all good. I mean, if there's a paper trail, let me know. I'm glad to be wrong.
Okay.
Now, did you bring anybody with you?
I did. My homie Dallas.
All right.
My cameraman.
Right. Yeah. He's your cameraman. Yeah. He's got you on camera here.
Yep.
Getting sold out on your first segment live on the air with us.
Cool. With us. You're a little bit late to this dance, by the way.
Not really.
Zach Bott. Well, have you done any shows with any of these guys?
No, but I mean, I'm going to work with one of these guys.
Wait a second. Hold on a second.
Right.
Is that coming anytime soon? What should I know?
I mean, if one of you guys go on vacation, one of these guys will be sitting in that chair with me one day.
Oh.
Right, vacation.
Yeah, vacation. When you go on vacation.
Well, I'm just never going to take a vacation.
Vacation. I mean, when you go on vacation.
Let's get to the stories here. Let's start with Kyle, I suppose, because you're just sitting right across from me. Why did you want to do this? What inspired you? What's your story a little bit, Kyle?
I've done some radio before, and I was telling Armin in my interview that I miss it, really. You drive down the street, and you're listening to you guys, and you're pounding on your steering wheel because you really want to get in on the conversation, and you want to be able to steer that thing, and you can't do that from the Honda, so... I wanted to be able to get in here and get after it and kind of open myself up to the public.
Now, can I just say off the bat?
Go ahead.
Do you do, like, late night love dedication for that voice? I mean, can we hear that baritone? That is nice right there.
You write the check, I'll be there.
So how many people have told you you've got a voice? You must have heard that a million times.
Since I was 8 years old.
Since you were 8 years old.
It was
old.
Very tough for my single mother.
Okay, so
I would answer the phone.
Yeah, and she, who's that man answering your phone?
Like, who's that?
All right, so how old are you right now?
Huh? 37.
Okay,
37.
What have you been waiting for?
What have I been waiting for?
Yeah,
radio.
So you've had a voice like this. You've had a desire to do it.
Yeah.
What's been part of your story that?
Well, when people tell you that, they don't give you any direction with it.
Gotcha.
They say, "Hey, you got a nice voice," and they don't point you to a job application or anything like
that. Right.
They just compliment you and keep on trucking. So.
When did you do radio? How long ago?
I started in 13, and I just wrapped up towards the end of last year.
Okay.
Tell me about the 13-year-old job. What was that?
The 2013.
Oh, 2013. Yeah. I'm like, you were 13.
No, I thought he said
he was 13. Didn't you hear 13?
Well, I'll tell you this. There's some people, and Armin's one of them, that start radio when they're in high school.
Right.
It is crazy. And when I got to Syracuse, I found out there were people that were doing this job when they were 14, 15 years old. And Armin's kind of, aren't you got a story like that too? Some high school sort of stuff? I didn't know how to start either, by the way, Kyle. So I just started, you know, I wasn't going to play in the NFL for, a decade, right? And none of us were that are doing this particular thing. So the concept is, where do you even start? And if you don't have somebody pointing you in the right direction, I don't know. How do you start?
Yeah. Well, look for opportunities like this. I went in, and obviously the previous radio experience I had was a little bit different in terms of concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to be a little bit more proactive about that. And this window opened, and I jumped in, and here I am. So.
All right, let's get to John Davis.
Yeah.
John, to me, looks scary. Like, he's got the tattoos and there is just something, just the grin. If there is something, like,
When you're 5'7", 134 pounds, you gotta look scary. You gotta make people. You can't be getting bullied around, so you gotta take care of that.
So when I look at you, I see somebody who's had an interesting little past. I see somebody that's sort of drifted all over the place with what he's really wanted to do before you got to this moment. How am I doing on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been all over the place. I did play some rap records at CSU on the radio station, but again, I had nobody point me really around after graduation. I didn't know what to do. So I worked for a while. I went back. I got my master's in business. Realized I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
And since then, I've been doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, very cool.
Years. Yeah, so I've been doing that.
What's the biggest room you've ever worked?
The Comedy Works.
Nice.
I've done Comedy Works. I've done a theater in Foxborough, Massachusetts. That one's really cool. That probably had about 400 or 500 people.
Now, that's key, because you've done performing then, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, Kyle, you've done performing, right? John, you've done performing.
It takes
a lot of guts. And radio, I'm sure you found out, very different than getting up on the stage,
Very different. More stressful, honestly.
Why?
Why?
Because when I'm on stage, I get the reaction right away.
Right.
Oh.
They tell me how I'm doing immediately. And when you're doing bad, they're all looking at you, and that's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you at least know how to adjust. You're immediately getting that reaction.
You know whether or not you're hot.
Exactly.
Yesterday, it takes a couple minutes for the text line to light up and let you know, huh?
Right. And it's something, to me, it's more harsh to read how much somebody hates you than to hear how much they hate you.
Right.
So it's...
Did you guys all use the text line while you were on the air last night? Did you actually look at the text line?
Zach was looking at it.
Same thing. Zach was looking.
Yeah. Zach?
I actually looked. And Zach almost acted like he...
The text line can be brutal.
It can be painfully brutal.
Just like the internet. It's all anonymous. So.
The internet?
Not really, because we have your phone number when you
text
in.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
All right. So, John, what do you do as a living right now?
I do work in marketing for a company. I target. I kind of work to kind of bring our core audience, find out who we want to get to, and then decide how we get to those people.
The tattoos, explain them to me.
The tattoos?
What's the story?
Ever since I was a little kid, I would go to the mall with my mom. I would see the dudes with the mohawks. I'd see the guys with the tattoos, and I would
those
go,
are the
I
want to
look like that.
That's your guy.
And she would pick
that's
me
your
up.
Look.
Yeah, I would touch the mohawks. Oh, because look, I couldn't play football.
Mm.
I'm not a big guy. I had to impress the girls another way, so I had to be the cool guy, the bad boy guy, and that's what I decided.
Did that work?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And now we come to Zach Thompson. Now, I look at Zach.
Yeah.
Just off the bat, to me, he looks like somebody from Barstool Sports or somebody like that. He looks like just one of those dudes that you just be a hang-around sort of guy. Is that kind of who you are, Zach?
Yeah, man. I did, like Kyle, a little bit of radio back in the day as well. I was heavy into music, so I was writing and producing songs. That's how I was able to pay through college, selling beats to all the people up at UNC.
Love that.
Everyone and their mom wanted to be a rapper, so I was just like, I need to capitalize, bought a Roland Phantom, started producing beats, making beats, and then I started writing songs. And I've had a couple songs on hit TV shows, everything from La La's Full Court Press, Sons of Anarchy, different kinds of syndicated shows, music production. Yeah, so. And same thing as you, man. Very, very similar to Kyle. I just miss radio. You're driving down the road. You hear these people doing this for a living. Like, man, that's what I really want to be doing. As much as I love music and as much as I love the YouTube channel that I do and all the other stuff that I do.
Let's give
social
you YouTube.
Media.
What's your YouTube channel?
Thomas the Franchise, man. YouTube.com/Thomas the Franchise. It's all about it's a daily vlog combined with sneakers. So every episode ends with something to do with sneakers, reviewing a high-end sneaker, lacing tutorial, anything like that.
You know what,
D-Mac?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know the franchise, right?
No.
You know Cecil and the Jordans. This is where it gets them from.
Oh, is that right?
So my son actually, the franchise actually got me my son's Air Jordan graduate. What did they call
Cap and gown Jordan 11.
Cap and gown Jordan 11s when I was at... we were at Cecil's house.
Yeah, for barbecue.
And you are, I guess you are a real internet superstar when it comes to the shoe game.
Yeah, and locally, man, I do a lot around here. We're almost at 20,000 subscribers in about a little less than a year on the YouTube channel. So built that up from nothing. And
good for you.
Yeah, just reviewing sneakers and kind of taking people through life.
You know what I see with all three of you guys?
What's that?
You got confidence.
Yeah.
Right? Can't you feel it with all three of these guys?
How much
people
sports
are out
you guys
there listening?
Watching? How much sports?
A lot.
Talk to me through this week. What are you watching?
I would say, obviously right now we're watching Rockies. I've tuned in a little bit of the College World Series. I try to tune in. I don't really tune in the whole tournament, but I do tune in the final games there. But just been Rockies following the LeBron stuff, what's going on with him there. Yeah.
What about you, John?
Yeah, that right now, the Rockies, it's a little frustrating. And I put so much emotion into the Broncos when the other teams start letting me down. Sometimes I got to take a break. But the NBA draft, been following a lot of what happened there. I like what the Nuggets did. And then leading into the NBA free agency. So I've been following a lot of that stuff.
Kyle?
Quite a bit of fallout from the draft, from the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. And then I'll try to tune into a little bit of soccer just so I can have something to say when I'm around everybody else that watches it. And that's really about it. Yeah, right now.
I tell you what, I'm impressed by all three of you guys. I can see it came down to the three of you. And like I said before, I can see in each one of you, there's a moment where you think, I can do this. I mean, I can feel it, you know, and because that's what you've done in your lives, basically. So it takes a bit of cockiness, right, to do this particular job, because you've got to think to yourself, people need to hear what I've got to say. Like, how arrogant is that when you really think about it? But if you don't have that, I don't think you have a shot. I can feel with all three of these guys, Al, that they've got that confidence.
Yeah, and I think
pretty
that,
special.
You know, when you're sitting behind this microphone, that's the one thing that what I learned early on is that, you know, you wonder or not, John, whether or not people are paying attention or listening. You just have to assume that they are and that you're saying the right things. You know what I'm saying? The fun that you have with this community behind this microphone cannot be duplicated unless you're behind this microphone. So, good luck to one of you guys. I don't know when we're going to announce it exactly, but
I mean, we're going to take a quick break because
we got
to hear what Mark Schlereth has to say. If we don't hear what Mark Schlereth has to say about things, we can't move
all
on with our lives.
You guys.
So
it's
hang on,
be a great job.
We're gonna find out the winner just in a couple minutes. Go ahead, Stink. We care what you say.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
You look at the AFC in general right now, when you talk about the quarterback position, the position that most of us think, hey, this league is built on quarterbacks, and if you don't have one, you can't win. Think about this now. How long is Brady going to play? Another couple years, maybe? How about Phillip Rivers? Another couple years, maybe? How about Ben Roethlisberger? Another couple years, maybe? And, you know, people think, well, we've got to have a high draft pick if we're not good so we can get a good quarterback. Really? That's what you have to have? Because right now you look at Buffalo, for instance. They're talking about Nathan Peterman starting games because McCarron and Josh Allen aren't ready to play. Peterman. Remember the guy who came in and pulled the Peterman, threw five picks in his first start because they benched Tyrod Taylor? Speaking of Tyrod Taylor, Sam Mayfield's not even close to beating out Tyrod Taylor right now. Are those guys your elite quarterbacks in the AFC? If all those other guys that we talked about, Brady, Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers are gone in 2 years, where is Case Keenum on the hierarchy of quarterbacks in the AFC? The bottom line is this. You're a couple of retirements away from having one of the better quarterbacks in the AFC, not some middling quarterback in the AFC. So I'm fine with where they are at quarterback right now, and I think Case Keenum will play well enough. I hope that he plays well enough to earn a long-term deal, and if he doesn't, then they'll figure it out. But that's kind of where I am with the Broncos in general and their quarterbacking situation, and they're just a couple of retirements away from being in a really good spot. So I can't wait to see this September when they get their cleats on the ground.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.